Robert King is a photographer and digital artist who challenges preconceived notions of what those living with a visual impairment can achieve. Recently, he received an honorable mention for his work at the Mo Biography Awards 2021 and is currently working on a series which aims to convey the deterioration of his sight through street photography. So lots of really exciting things happening. And Robert is actually joining me to talk all about it. It's so nice to finally have you here, Robert.
It is lovely. Yeah, finally we get to talk.
I know it's been a little back and forth, but you are here. We can talk your passion. We can talk for photography. So let's start with something I've mentioned in the introduction. You're currently working on a very exciting series, aren't you?
Yes, it's a series of images, as you were saying, that's trying to convey what it's like to live with deteriorating eyesight. It's a question I get asked all the time is, what can you actually see and how can you manage to do what you do? So the images I'm working on are what are called digital composites. So it's photographs of myself that I've taken, not so much selfies, but self-portraits that are out of focus or behind glass or reflections in glass or reflections on walls. And I'm layering those with the retinal scans that I've had done and fluorescein angiograms, which is where they inject dye into your body and it passes through your eyes and it allows the consultants and the surgeons to see the damage and what's happening. So I've been given access to those photographs and I'm combining all this into sort of a layered portrait to give people a better understanding. It seems to have worked. There's been a lot of good feedback. I've posted quite a few on Grayson Perry's Art Club Facebook group. There's about 70,000 members on there. The feedback was just overwhelming from people who are having sight issues and saying, oh my God, you've managed to capture what I've been trying to say for years, or people are saying, this is exactly what my mother tells me she sees. So it seems to have struck a chord with a lot of people, you know. So it's going to be an ongoing series. I've got about five done so far, and hopefully I can have an exhibition out of this at the end of the day. I'm discussing with a small gallery about the possibility of staging this as an exhibition next year.
Oh, that would be lovely. And you do have a really nice name as well for this whole series, don't you?
It's Shadow of an Echo, which is, again, to do with my eyesight. And currently I've got double vision, restricted vision in one eye. The one eye that can see, there's distortion on the retina. So everything's slightly blurred, out of focus. Occasionally I think someone's there and it's just a shadow of something else, or I hear something and I turn around and there's nothing there, but I catch a partial glimpse of something else. So it's just shadows and echoes, and it kind of fits well together with the photography that I've done and the internal photography that the hospital's been doing, because that's dependent on shadows inside the eye and the reflections there as well, and sort of sonograms that they take using sound. You know, you have gel on your eye and you run a little pad over it and it puts sound waves back and forward. So it all just seemed like, for me as a visual artist, it seemed too good an opportunity to pass up to get access to all this photography and research that was being done. So when I've explained to the staff in the hospitals what I'm doing, I get curious looks, but also, oh, you really need to let us see this. Our students will be interested in this, or I have a colleague at another hospital will be interested. So it's, like I said, it seems to have struck a chord with people on different levels, people who are visually impaired and people who are not.
Is it weird putting the, pardon the pun, the lens on yourself in this case? Because I know you've not always been very out there when it came to talking about your visual impairment, but it seems that lately you've kind of embraced that side of yourself.
Yeah, I've never really, I was born with sight issues, so it's been part and parcel of my life. And to talk about it, just didn't really see the point in it because I was just who I was. But as I've got older and I face more sight issues, I think it comes with age where it's acceptance. I've never accepted, even though I was born with these conditions, I've never accepted what's happened to me and what is happening to me. And I'm now having to do that because it's, you know, you end up with anger and frustration, and that gets in the way of the creative process. So I've been reading a lot of experiences from other people who've got sight loss, other artists who've had sight issues, and I think it's about time that I just started trying to accept how I am, what's happening, what's going to happen, and try and do something with that in the meantime that conveys a message and might ultimately help or inspire other people to think, well, wait a minute, if he can do this, then I can do it as well. So it's giving a voice to the condition. You know, we're so used to seeing images of people with dark glasses and white canes. That's generally, if you look up visual impairment on the stock photography site, that's all you're going to find. You're not going to see visually impaired artist or visually impaired photographer. And but hopefully with this kind of project, it might change things. I'd like to think so anyway.
Well, it certainly seems like you're making a difference already, but there's also a really interesting, well, personally for me, interesting aspect to your art is that you have been using majorly, it's iPhone and iPads? Am I thinking right?
Yeah, yeah. Everything I do, it's entirely done digitally. I have tried traditional cameras like SLRs and DSLRs, and do all the settings every time I want to do something has become really difficult to do. I actually worked for a photography gallery for 16 years. So I was always around artists and creative people who were doing photography in the dark room. And as soon as I was in a dark room, you know, there's no way I could deal with that at all. So I never dealt with physical photos. So when I discovered an artist who was using digital cameras and Photoshop, that kind of opened up a new world. But then even that got difficult. So then for my 50th birthday, my wife bought me an iPhone. And within a matter of 2 weeks, it had just changed everything about anything creative I do. I took a few photographs, saw the results, got a couple of apps and just thought, oh my God, this is phenomenal. Struggled with the small screen. So my wife then bought me an iPad, which gave me that bigger screen to do stuff in. And within 6 months, I was just creating every week, doing something. And within a year, I had some of my work in a group exhibition, and it sold within 15 minutes of the opening night. And I just thought, oh, you know, wow, this is phenomenal. And it's just gone on from there. There's been I've had a couple of solo exhibitions. You know, there's been other group exhibitions. I've won other awards from mobile art exhibitions in places like California. It just seems to go on from strength to strength, and it's just purely mobile. Everything's mobile. It's just, even now sitting with talking to you, it's my iPad. It's become my digital hub for everything, communication, art, work, sort of free time. Yeah, it's transformed. I don't think it's too grand a statement to say that the iPhone changed my life, basically.
Oh my God, that's quite a grand statement there, but it's very true. And it's really interesting because when you talk about digital photography, you have such a wide spectrum of what you photograph, because it's landscapes, flowers, self-portraits, street art. So what would you say is your absolute favorite, I guess, either type of photography or maybe your favorite piece of work you've ever done?
Piece of work that I'm doing, there's a few pieces that aren't on the website. They weren't for sale. There was a portrait that I did of my wife. My wife and I used to know each other a long time ago, sort of early love and things, and we ended up losing track of each other. She was in London, I was in Glasgow, and I always wondered what happened to her. And I had this picture in my head of her eyes. I could always see her eyes. And then after 25 years, I got an email out of the blue saying, remember me, and that image of her eyes came back into my mind. So with that, I created a self-portrait, which is just based on, a portrait of her rather, is just based on her eyes. And we now have a son, so there's a reflection inside her eyes of our child. That's probably my favourite piece of work, but it's not something that I put on the website for sale. It's just in a large frame behind us as we're talking here. But those kind of images are my favourite. I mean, I enjoy taking traditional photographs, if you like, but always end up processing them and manipulating them. But the series on the website, there's one called Invisible Soundtracks, and it's story images which are multi-layered. They're all based on ideas I've had while listening to music or reading someone talk about their music. It's just those references. I used to be in the music industry a long time ago, so music has always been a big, big passion. And that's transferred, funny enough, into photography, because all the images I produce are square, so they could effectively be album sleeves. That's everything I do now, is just that format of 12 inches square. But yes, storytelling images are probably that's my favourite piece of work, which is what, coming back to the series you were asking about, the Shadow of an Echo, it's trying to tell a story. And I've had a few people saying, you know, this could be an album sleeve or this could be a book jacket. So, you know, it seems to have hit the right note.
So for anyone who is maybe listening to our conversation and thinking, oh my gosh, I want to check out your work, I want to see those amazing images, or maybe I want to get in touch and see, you know what, I need a cover for my album, where should we go? What's your web address?
The web address is www.rhking.art.
Okay, amazing. And finally, I do have one last question for you, Robert, because a lot of your work is about empowering those that have sight loss. So what would be your biggest piece of advice for someone who is maybe considered giving photography or digital art a go, but they feel a bit overwhelmed or maybe worried they won't be able to do it?
I would say just go for it. Just do it. There's a quote from Andy Warhol that says, don't worry about what people think about your art. While they're thinking about it, you just go and do more art and let them be concerned whether it's good or bad. You think it's good, you keep on doing art. And that's what it is. I mean, I've accepted that not everyone likes what I do. The people are going to, no, it's not for me, but I like it. And the work that I produce is, if I could say, yeah, I would buy that if I saw it in a gallery, that's the deciding factor. But I've done workshops with people, and it's amazing that as soon as someone gets some positive feedback, it just opens up the doors to them. So that's what I would say to anybody who's listening to this, who's got a camera, who's got a mobile phone. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks. You just go and do it. You just try and tell your story, create some images, create something, and leave something behind. That's important. Have a look on YouTube, have a look on the net. Find other visually impaired artists. They are out there if you look for them. That's it. Reach out to people. If anyone wants to get in touch with me and ask me how to do it, check the website, drop me an email, and you'll hear back from me. Definitely. I'll respond to everybody.
Fantastic. Thank you so much again, Robert. And thank you for sharing your story on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much. Good talking to you.